a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity for an exit point, and I don't know why I didn't take it, but I didn't take it. But just having that moment of acknowledging, like, oh, I could step out now. Am I cool with that? And I had this whole conversation with my spirit guides, who apparently were more available to me because we were so close, to this date. And I was like, okay, I could step out if I want to, or I can hang out. Thank you for showing me this and for showing me that I can do it consciously. And that I wasn't afraid. There's nothing in me that was afraid at all. But for whatever reason, I was like, no, you know what? Apparently, I want to see what happens next. But I could go anytime, and that's cool. Howdy, we have been through it these last 4 years. Once again, your host, Dig Deep. Jenny and Trey talk about hitting potential exit points last month and what the meaning of harvest this particular means to them. Because it means a lot. It was a big one. Samhain is the witchiest holiday on the witch's wheel. It's when we look at all the hard work we've done for the year so that we can accept and receive the magic.
Hello, meow meow.
Hello, happy harvest season. There's so much going on right now.
Happy harvest season, and we're coming together on such a fortuitous day. Even though this will not be released on Election Day, we are recording it the morning of Election Day.
That's right,
So.
because we can't think of anything better to do on the precipice of major energetic changes than to do the stuff we love most. Like, why would we do it any differently, you know?
So true. You were literally like, yeah, the energy is going to be really intense on that day. Let's like we're going to record some good stuff." And I agreed. Like, this is the time to do it. This is when we'll, we're notorious for channeling sometimes without meaning to. And I feel like today will either just be a day of blockage or a day of extreme channel, and there will be no in
Excellent. It'll
between.
be very humorous either way it goes. Although we might be the only ones laughing if we can't get like anything out of ourselves today.
Yeah, but we are also at the end of the harvest season and fastly approaching winter, and so I figure, what
Bite your
fast,
tongue. Bite your tongue.
fastly. Well, I
In the
mean, we
time of
did.
climate change, we get at least 2 extra weeks.
No, we already got snow in Colorado, although it was
Yeah.
very light. It was very light. But yeah, my knee has been very upset. But yeah, what better conversation to have than to discuss harvest and discuss what it means in witchcraft? So I don't know. I guess Trey, what is your experience with harvest, and what does it mean to you?
I can't say that I have a deep relationship with it. I was a huge Halloween fan, and Halloween, is a derivative of these Celtic traditions, where there's the acknowledgement that the veil is very thin. And I'm reaching a little bit here, but I'm pretty sure the idea was is that you dressed up as because the world was going to be filled with demons and dark creatures, and the fae were amongst us, that you dressed like them so that you could sort of pass as them and not get
Oh.
messed with. Yeah.
I love that idea of passing as Fae for an evening.
Yes, and Ireland, there's just the assumption that the fae are on the move on that night, and after midnight, you do not go outside. You don't walk home from the pub. You don't, head on home from your friend's house. That the place shuts down at midnight, because if you are caught out there with the fae on the move, then you are now swept up in what it is that they're doing. And oftentimes, that's not a place you want to be.
Oh, like equal parts, like, oh, I totally believe it. And also, I want to experience that. Like, what is that like? I could use, no, I don't want to say what I was about to say out loud. But
See, now I'm
yeah,
super curious.
I was gonna be like, I could use some fate trauma, but it's not true. I don't
No,
need it.
take that
No,
back. Take
I'm
that
taking it
back.
back. It's untrue. But that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like, Ireland and Scotland, they're all in like that general area. So I believe that Ireland also, the veil is super thin over there. it makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Yeah, so all of these traditions, you know, somehow matriculate, well, somehow they came across on boats with a bunch of white people from Europe. And then obviously things evolve into what we now have as Halloween. And, you know, like, I enjoyed it as much as anybody else dressing up for it. But I didn't understand the power of Halloween. Until there was one particular Halloween that, this is when I was married, he and I would do couples costumes, but they were always really dark because it's me. Like, I'm not going to dress up as like a Disney princess. That's never going to happen. So we were, I can't even remember what our costumes were, but we were in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles on Halloween shuts down about a mile and change of Santa Monica Boulevard, and it just becomes a walking mall. And that, you know, like every block, there'll be another bandstand for cover bands.
You know,
disco and 80s and what have you. And then tons of food stalls. You know, you kind of bring in your own liquor for the most part. And here's the crazy. So like hundreds of thousands of people would come and do this walk. It was extraordinarily queer. Like, what? Like, this was West Hollywood and it was fabulous. So all the guys, you know, were dressed in their best drag. I've never seen so many ass cheeks hanging out. I have so many pictures of my husband with pictures with like, you know, showgirls. So men dressed as these spectacular Vegas creatures. And like Wonder Women, like I have one picture of him with like 10 different Wonder Women. It just was sensational. And it was peaceful, and it was, there was no crime, there were no cops, and it's the opposite of what you really expect to have happen in such a highly charged, you know, city on a highly charged date. So on this particular Halloween, this is when everything kind of changed in my head. There was a fire going on in the hills to the east of LA, and it had gotten to the point where the ash was drifting into the city, and you were coming out of your car or out of your houses in the morning, and there was you know, ash from these fires. So it was severe. It was really, really bad.
Wow.
And we kept expecting rain, and the rain didn't come, and you know, there had been a couple of deaths. I mean, it was really like the entire city was just so worried about this. And this is before there was, you know, it's Tuesday, there's a fire. This was early days for fire season in LA. And right at midnight, I ain't gonna lie, y'all, right at midnight, it started raining.
Wow.
And I am convinced that it is because 200,000 joyful celebrants went to this one strip, were sharing energy, was sharing, you know, just, you know, I don't know, just being yourself, just really getting to be yourself. We were all in this space. We were all worried about the fires, and we all wanted a solution, and we made it rain.
Wow.
I'm convinced of this.
That's beautiful. Well, and like, I truly think, and I'm about to go because I do, the history that I have is on these particular holidays that happen around the harvest and why and what they mean. Not crazy amounts, but like, I do think that of all the pagan holidays that have been morphed and changed, I think Halloween's been allowed to stay in somewhat of its purest form, you know, and hasn't been changed by indoctrination and by cult mindsets and by trauma and by brainwashing. And so, yeah, it makes sense to me that, you know, the veil is thinnest for all of us. Yeah. And we're able to come together and do something very, very magical and have community greater than we would be able to during certain times of years, because, you know, Christmas is marred for some of us, St. Patrick's Day is marred for some of us, but like Halloween remains true. Which
except for all those kids in the 70s running and screaming from Jason, from Freddy.
Yeah, well, and I do think that like allowing horror and trauma to exist in a cultured and, you know, maintained environment, kind of like letting a fire burn, like safely and contained, is is part of the reason why, in my opinion.
Oh, I love that. And bonfires are a big part of this celebration as well, which I'm sure you will get to. I don't know these aspects, so I'm fascinated to learn whatever you're...
Well, so this is more just about harvest in general, but we will end on Samhain. But it just talks about how the harvest is... Obviously, part of it came from the fact that this is the time of year where crops are most bountiful, and you have the widest range of crops that you're able to do, as well as certain crops that are only able to be done this time of year. But more than anything, the harvest is about reaping the benefits of the past year and ending the year on a good note. It is a celebration of abundance and joy, but is also a signal of the wrapping of the magical efforts for the year, which I think is very interesting. And this is an idea that I kind of came to last year, but like, it's just interesting to me that, like, you know, taking a break from things after Halloween and just allowing your witchy brain, your witchy mind to rest a little bit. Mm-hmm. And especially when you look at the fact that we have holiday season after that, you know, which is not a time of rest for a lot of people. I just think it's very interesting. But
and how did that happen? Talk about trauma. I mean,
I know. Well, I wonder if it was intended as rest, like, oh, Thanksgiving, we get together, and Christmas, we have fun, and you take off work. But like, putting those things together is so much more work.
Yeah.
So much more work. But it's important to note that there are three holidays, because the Witch's Wheel is a celebration of 8 holidays throughout the year that are supposed to represent the changing seasons. Okay. And 3 of those holidays fall on the harvest. So the first of those holidays is Lammas. It's Lammas. And then there's another version of it that I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce because I did not look it up. This one is observed on August 1st. It's named for Lu, the Celtic god of the sun, and it celebrates light, food, and life. The Sabbat is centered around the grain harvest, and witches often bake bread. So it's the time of year to begin calling in these energies and begin, forming together these ingredients for yourself to say, okay, this is where we start reaping these benefits and start sowing them. Mm-hmm. And then next comes Mabon, which falls around September 21st, but is also known as the autumnal equinox. Yes. And on this day, the idea is that light and dark are in perfect balance, with the day and the night being exactly equal. It's referred to as the Witch's Thanksgiving, and is the perfect time to just offer thanks and offer offerings to your gods and goddesses. And then, of course, the season ends with Samhain, which is spelled Samhain, but pronounced Samhain. And it is considered to be the darkest and most witchy of all the Sabbats. And the idea being that it is an acknowledgement of death, and it is acknowledgement of sorrow and loss, but still a celebration of life. And specifically the quote of a celebration of life in the midst of death. And I really like that, because I feel like that ties really, really well with changing into winter. And it makes sense that October 31st is, regardless of what time winter actually comes, is the time of year where we are ending the harvest and we are allowing the rest to come in and allowing the death to find us. And I think especially on the precipice of such an important election, recognizing the celebration of life that we have amidst all of this death, amidst the potential death, understanding what death means to us, is really important. And so I really like that. And that's pretty much the extent of the stuff that I did. It wasn't
fantastic.
Crazy.
Okay. There's so many things in there, but
yeah,
let's start
let's
at
break
the
it
end
down
thing and like work backwards. I'm so interested that this is sort of the culmination, leading up to the acknowledgement of death. So it's certainly that the veil is thinnest, which means, you know, ghosts, can mm-hmm. come through, but also, this particular celebration, the encouragement, my understanding is to acknowledge ancestors, that you have mm-hmm. access to your ancestors in a way. So whether or not they're present and accounted for as a ghost, or if it's just their spirit, their soul, you know, to be able to, you know, have, I don't know, just connection with those aspects. And for myself, okay, so I'm going to admit this. I've been kind of obsessing on the whole death thing for the last few months. One of the things that I've been working in my spiritual practice is, you know, getting good with mortality, because I've come for myself to a realization that if I can be cool about stepping out at any time, then, oh my gosh, talk about a weight lifted. And then I can just really enjoy life as it is without, I don't know. I feel like, there's a lot of weight that Americans in particular put on ourselves, things surrounding around, oh gosh, you know, who gets what in the inheritance. And, I don't know. I don't have family, so I have to like think about what my friends are going through. Cause I do hear a lot about it, but also like they're, you know, the older parents trying to convince them that like, it's a really good time to like, you know, get your paperwork in order. But, you know, to me, I'm like, yeah, the paperwork for sure is important, but more importantly, like, are you good? Are you good mm-hmm. with going, you know, whatever your, spiritual practices are, it's always a good time to be connecting with this idea that life is fleeting. And at any time, if you were to pass on, would you be cool with it, or would you fight it? Are you living in dread with what happens next? Are you still hung up on this concept of legacy?
Yeah.
You know, are you still hung up on not knowing for yourself what's going to happen after death? So the last few months I've been working on all of that. And a couple of weeks ago I had the opportunity for an exit point, and I don't know why I didn't take it, but I didn't take it. But just having that moment of acknowledging like, oh, I could step out now. Am I cool with that? And I had this whole conversation with my spirit guides, who apparently were more available to me because we were so close, you know, to this date, you know, and I was like, okay, I could step out if I want to, or I can hang out. Thank you for showing me this and for showing me that I can do it consciously. And that I wasn't afraid. There's nothing in me that was afraid at all. But for whatever reason, I was like, no, you know what? Apparently I want to see what happens next, but I could go anytime and that's cool. So I was doing this work without even knowing it. How about that?
Well, and I don't know how much of the nitty gritty you want to get into with that, because I also just think how it happened and where it happened, especially because you were crossing a threshold, you know, crossing physical thresholds, but also emotional thresholds. Yeah, I feel like, you know, a lot of things are coming up for me now. You and I both experienced potential endpoints pretty much within the same days of each other.
Yes.
And yours was very much like understanding that you've made peace and understanding that you are ready and that you can whenever you want, but like, you're good now. Like, it's fine to stay right now. And mine was very much like, is this actually what you want? You know, is an exit point what you're ready for? And I'm not at all. And I'm still working on that fear of death. And I'm still working on that understanding that anything could happen to me at any time. And also I'm here for a purpose, and like, there is a purpose to my path, and that there's protections on my path, and that I have protections with me right now that maybe aren't ready for me to go either. And it's very interesting to think about having Samhain being that time of year where you reflect on death. And, you know, you made the comment about like people when they're approaching death, getting their stuff in order and getting themselves in order and making sure that they're ready. And I really like this idea of doing that every year, you know, where you're just reflecting every year on how am I doing? Like, what do I need? What am I missing out on? What do I still feel is incomplete? And how can I best start working towards those goals for getting those completed, because truly any of us are going to die at any point, like, and we don't know. And a lot of people still have that fear of death. And I thought that I didn't, you know, and I thought that I was not afraid of death, and I thought that I was ready. And
please, you know, we should make it clear that, you know, if you are traveling on a train and it goes off the tracks, or you're in an airplane and it starts crashing, like, you're gonna be afraid. That's not what we're talking about here. That the biological response to a violent death is a biological response to a violent death, but being prepared in advance of being like, but I'm cool, man. It's all right. It's okay. Spiritually, you know, I'm ready to go home. And you're still at that, I don't know, is it an age thing? Like, I never thought I would not be very goal-oriented, very, oh my gosh, I was, this is a joke, that I was always the most ambitious person that I knew. And now, y'all, I just don't care. So when I think about harvest for me this year, it has so much more. Harvest last year was about arranging for a move. I actually left the life I'd led for 15 years, you know, and started quasi fresh elsewhere. Although in America, can you ever really start with a blank slate? Because there's McDonald's everywhere. There's, you can get your favorite brand of potato chips at any time. It's not that fresh, folks. You still have your, you know, your internet. You can still watch your favorite TV shows in your own language. But so last year was a very, very active, I can't get it out of my mouth right, Jenny. Sawin. I'm never going to get it.
It's like Sawin.
And then this year, it's the opposite. This year, it's like, but I don't have big drive to get stuff done. It's actually one of the first times that I've ever really experienced peace. And I had always associated this part of the season with, you know, because you're not in the fields plowing, you're not desperate to get the last pieces of your food stores in place. Magically, you know, you've done the things that hopefully you had wanted to do, that now is supposed to be the time of slumber and of restoration. But you're not feeling that, is what I'm hearing.
No, I am, but I'm not. Like, it's almost like, I don't know. Especially with your conversations about peace, I feel like it's less about spiritual holy cards for me and like getting my ducks sorted in that sense, and more in the physical realm for me. And that so much of my life up until now has just been pain and suffering and hardships and constant turmoil, constant stress, constant not being okay, that this has been my first taste at the peaceful potential, you know? And this year in particular was one of the hardest years of my life.
Yeah.
You know, we are releasing an episode this Thursday that I'm not a part of. And I feel comfortable saying that the reason that I'm not a part of that episode was because I was actually in a crisis stabilization unit for my mental health. And the reason I'm okay saying that is because I don't ever want it to just be like, you know, not talking about it. Like, I want to talk about where I'm at and be honest with people. Mm-hmm. And I struggled a lot this year. And this is the first time that I truly, truly, truly faced an endpoint where I reached a point where I was ready and I was done and I made a plan and I thought about it and then I actually sat with it for a while. And I hated sitting with it because no part of this life has been peaceful for me. And I know that I came into this life trying to complete a lot of cycles for myself, you know, trying to clear a lot of karma. And I know that that's the purpose for me for this life. It was also shown that my path is in mental health, and I've always known that my path is in mental health, but particularly with going to the film industry is going to take me a while, and that I need to do something that's going to tide me over until then. And so working in the mental health field in particular, and it feels like I have done so much work this year for myself. I have struggled so much. I've put my nose to the grindstone. I've white knuckled through so much this year. that the veil lifted for me finally, and that within the same week of me accepting that it was not my time to die and me accepting that I need to be here longer, I got my job. I went through a breakup that I have been needing to go through. And the veil lifted for me in a lot of ways. And it was like, okay, now we can go into this era of change. You know, and I've always known, especially because you've brought it up before, that 2025 was just going to be a better year for me all around. And that so many things that I've been trying to do are finally going to get done, you know? And so it's like you're exiting this era of constant work and constant fighting. And I'm just now entering it. I'm learning what fighting means, and I'm learning how to fight for myself, and how to take care of myself more properly. And so much has cycled around for me this Samhain, you know, so much has completed, so much change that I've been trying to manifest for years and years and years that started way back in 2020 for me has finally come full circle.
Wow.
And this chapter that I've been trying to close for so long has finally ended, you know. And when it first happened, you and I had a phone call where I was like, you know, I think that this is the shift. And you were like, it is. And I was like, I hear you, but it's going to take me a little bit to accept it, because I need to see that it's the shift. I need the evidence to be there.
Yeah.
And I can confidently say that it is, because so many things that I've struggled with before are just not a struggle for me anymore at all. So many addictions and so many vices that I've been working and working and working to get rid of suddenly just left. And suddenly we're just like, yeah, you can kind of live without it for right now. And you're like, wow, that easy? That's done?
Wow.
And you're like, yeah, that's it.
That is magic. That is. And I don't mean magic like magic wand. I mean, like, that is spiritual energy at work. Beautiful.
Yeah. So I do think I am entering into this period of rest for me for a little bit, but it's a period of change, you know. It's a period of I've done all of this mental work, and now it's time to just sit back into the physical work for a little bit, you know, and allow myself to just reap these physical benefits. And it honestly sounds really peaceful, and it relaxes me to know that, and it relaxes me to know that I have worked through all of these things, and that my spirits are like, yeah, you're there, you've been doing it, and now it's time for the physical to finally catch up.
Wow. Okay. Anyway. Like, my heart is just singing for you. Holy Toledo.
Thank you
so much for sharing that. And
yeah.
And you've been sharing it the entire time that we've been doing this podcast. So can you give an example of when you say that there is like an addiction thing that, that just, I don't know, your spirit just let go of? Like, what do you mean
so,
by that?
So I've always struggled with weed and marijuana. And when I say struggled, like, there have been clear benefits and there have been clear downsides. And I have not been able to weigh one against another properly, where there'd be months of my life that I would go without smoking and I would fall back into it, you know? And then there'd be months and years of my life where I'd continue to smoke. And there would be periods of healthy smoking where it was healthy and it was safe, but it would always drift into this is no longer healthy and this is no longer safe. And unfortunately, weed is tied directly to my food addiction as well, because I do have binge eating disorder. And, you know, getting the munchies on weed, like, it sounds like a fun thing, but when you struggle with eating, it's awful, you know. And there are people who I know who struggle with eating on the other end, and they use weed to help them eat. But with me, I have a struggle not eating. And with weed, I was just constantly hungry all the time, and my ability to feel full was really turned off. And so when I went to Santa Fe House, which is the place, the name of the crisis stabilization unit, I got started. First of all, I got my bipolar diagnosis, which I've been needing for a while. And I got started on two medications. And these medications gave me energy and they gave me the ability to focus a little bit more. They're not ADHD meds. I am not, my ADHD is untreatable, but they filled in some of these spaces that weed was filling in for me, where suddenly, oh my God, I can wake up and I feel good and I feel ready throughout the day. Suddenly I can clean my room for an hour and I don't have to, like, psych myself into it. I don't have to spend all this mental energy getting myself prepared to clean, because that's what it was. It was constantly having to expend mental energy to get myself to do tasks around my house, around my life. And weed would turn that off, where weed I could smoke and all the constant rambling thoughts about having to do this task would turn off and I could do it. But suddenly that's not a thing anymore. And suddenly it's like, huh, I need to do the dishes. Okay, I can do them for real quick for right now. Huh, I need to cook some food tonight. Like, okay, I can cook some food. And
this is huge.
I mean, huge. I've been waiting for years. And suddenly weed just wasn't my jam anymore. I wasn't enjoying it. After I started on my meds, every time I smoked weed, I hated it. Every time I smoked weed, I had a bad time. Every time it triggered anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, this is not for me anymore. And normally when I quit weed, the first 2 weeks is nothing but cravings. The first week that I quit, I had zero cravings for it at all. Wow. Like, yeah, none at all. I did not crave it at all. It got to the point that I'm hanging out with people who smoke and I'm genuinely like, I kind of don't want to. And it's going to be fine. It's not going to impact my relationships. Like, I can still hang out with these people without weed. But like, it's just kind of like it's fine. And I feel almost exactly about weed how I do about drinking now. And that's just a huge, huge, huge shift for me. And, you know, the food side of things is definitely more of a battle. I definitely have binge eating disorder and I'm having to work on it more and check in with myself more and regulate myself more. But holy hell, is that regulation so much easier without weed? Like, oh my gosh, it's doable without weed. Where with weed, it was not doable. It was not possible. And so that's what I mean, is it's like these past few weeks have just been such a shift. And it's still hard for me to fully accept that it's here, because it's been years and years.
I was just saying that to somebody. Like, I can't believe things are this good right now. Like, oh, yeah. I hope they last. And they're like, oh, you're so worried that things are going to. And like, because they always did in the past.
They always did. Yeah. Maybe so I think. No, I hope not. And I don't think so. And I feel like, you know, there is a conversation you and I had a while back where you will reach a point with something where you just know you're done with it, you know, where you've hit your cycle and you've hit your phase and you're just like, yeah, I'm done. And it truly feels like that with weed, like where I'll still smoke socially if I can, or have moments of it. Or if a job requires me to be completely off of it, I will. And I can't deny the benefits that it's had for me in the past. And I can't deny the benefits that it's had for people. But that back and forth is finally done, where it's nothing but just non-beneficial for me now. And there's no point. There's no point of it.
So it was just literally just last night, I was listening to Ram Dass. I'm getting a lot out of Ram Dass right now, y'all. So sorry, you get to hear about it too. And there is an Indian word for it, but it was 3 a.m. So I can't remember what it was. But the way he relates it is, you know, we do all of these different things in order to create energy within ourselves. Sometimes it's about trying to get, you know, higher. Sometimes it's about blocking, right? Just blocking out pain, blocking out trauma. And then sometimes it's about trying to connect with the divine. And he was talking about, for him, it was motorcycles for a really long time. And then all of a sudden he just noticed one day that he hadn't been on his motorcycle in quite a while, but now he was in his sports car, which is kind of funny because he's considered like this, you know, Uber American guru, but he's also totally just a boy. And he's like, yeah, so now I'm in my sports car. And he's like, oh, I had finished my trip with the motorcycles. Like, that trip is done. And I'll probably never go back to it again. And even if I do, it's not going to mean the same thing to me, because it's never going to serve the purpose that it was serving. The purpose has been served and I get to put this down now. And I feel like with addictions, sometimes we get lucky enough to find whatever key works best for us. And I think I have said this on the podcast before. This was during the COVID sequester. I had been experiencing a lot of dark energetic attacks, and I could not find relief, and none of my usual energy healers, it was above their pay grade. And it turns out one, you know, one of them knew somebody who considered himself an exorcist. And like, I just, you know, I think that's kind of a silly, I mean, you can use that word, but let's take the charge out of that word. Yes, it's getting rid of dark energies. And if the word for that is exorcism, yay. But no, it's not, you know, the Blair Witch Project. Anyway, so he did what he called an exorcist on me. And he's like, oh, wow, these are three of the biggest, darkest things that I've ever tussled with. And honestly, I assume everything is nonsense. Like, it's just a sales pitch, you know, like, whatever, dude, like, let's see what happens tomorrow when I wake up. And sure enough, the next day, you talk about feeling way lighter. Not only did I feel way lighter, but my craving for alcohol, gone. Mm-hmm. And in lots of spiritual practices, and we've talked about this a little bit before, that we often will get connected with like people who were alcoholics in real life and now they're ghosts. And, you know, they're like, oh, yay, look, there's people in a bar. I can get them to drink on my behalf because I'm desperate, desperate, desperate to get back to that feeling. So a lot of addiction in my belief system tracks back to these energetic planes and these, you know, these energetic interferences. So he cleared them for me and I didn't drink for 2 years.
Wow.
Had zero, zero. And by the way, I drank pretty much every single day for decades. I was very dedicated drinker. Same thing with cigarette smoking. The urge was gone. And when the urge is gone, there's no reason to try to restart it.
Yeah.
Although some of us do, right? Because we're hanging out with friends or whatever, or we're at a party and everybody else is, you know, having a drink or passing around the bong or whatever. And it just wasn't there for me. And now when I drink, it's usually one of two things. It's entirely associated with my trauma. So if I am drinking, it means I've been triggered on some level. So my PTSD has been activated, and that is the easiest, fastest way for me to be like, well, here we are again. But yeah. Now I have the means and the methods to deactivate it. Like, I know how to do that on the spiritual level. And by the way, this is just me, y'all, and I'm not a doctor and I'm not, you know, a sponsor. This is just my journey. And the other piece is if I'm drinking, it's usually because I'm too revved up and I can't figure out how to shift my brain into a different way of being. And alcohol has just always been the easiest way to do that.
Yeah.
I could take a bath, but like, maybe that would work.
It's interesting because the two ways that you describe alcohol for you are exactly how it is for weed for me, where it's like
addiction is addiction.
Yeah, I used it to shift my consciousness in the moment into something that was more malleable and manageable, or I used it to cope. Mm-hmm. And I would agree that my coping skills have gotten a lot better, and I've been working through that this year, and working towards that, and then. Shift, and then with that, my ability to shift my thinking has also gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, I picked up crocheting, and crocheting has really, like, because it's something to do with your hands, and it also takes a lot of your attention and focus.
Most of my ADHD friends knit or have some.
It sounds so menial, but it was a huge shift for me because it's like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling awful. Oh my gosh, I can't get out of this headspace. And I'm like, ugh, let's just crochet it a little bit, you know? And then you just sit down and you work through it while you're crocheting. And I'm still racing through thoughts, and my thoughts are still racing, but suddenly I'm producing something while I'm doing that. And suddenly it's allowing me to spend hours and hours on this one thing. And afterwards, I'm not just like, oh my God, I just wasted my time doing nothing. It's like, oh my gosh, I just muscled through this in crochet.
Make me a scarf. Can I have a scarf?
I can make you a scarf. I definitely make stuffed animals more than anything, but I can make
a
scarf.
Have a stuffed animal?
Yeah, of course. I'd much prefer to make you a stuffed animal.
Yay!
Yeah. Also, I make complimentary gummy bears for people. And so I'll give you a gummy bear too. I'll send you all the yarn colors. I can't believe I didn't think about it for you. I guess because you're not in state, so I don't see you in person. So I'm like,
oh. Right. Oh, I see. So I moved to another state and I don't deserve a
Yes.
Crochet stuff in them. That's amazing. So what I'm hearing, just to kind of to, because all of this has to do with what we came into
With
this,
the
what we talked
harvest.
about. It's a time of reflection in a different way than the January 1st or the Chinese New Year. It's just, I mean, it's another opportunity, right? But there's so much magic that's infused in this that you have access to thoughts, you have access to dimensions, you have access to ancestors, you have access to skills that maybe you didn't know you had. It's a great time to invite things, things meaning like, you know, new practices in. And it's a great time to also like escort things out. And in some cases, certainly in both of our cases, by the way, that exorcism, I'm putting the air quotes around it, did happen in early November. It was absolutely associated with this time of year. So if nothing else, then to take a moment and to be like, okay, so like what has changed this year on these kinds of realms that we're talking about? And then to be able to appreciate that, you know, and to give thanks for that, because there's in my realm of thinking and in your realm of thinking, there are so many powerful beings out there that are working on our behalf. And sometimes if we can just take a moment to be, you know, to have some gratitude for it. And it's so odd, like here we are on this election day that is so tumultuous for so many people. And man, I gotta tell you, I'm already living 2 years down the road. I'm
Well,
ready to, you know, to keep shedding this stuff and bringing in the benefits of the hard work that has been done in the last three or for both of us for the last 3 or 4 years.
and you know, with that, like offering thanks to our ancestors and our spirits that are with us, but I also feel offering thanks to ourselves, you know, and when you and I went through that diversion where objectively, there was one reality where we died, and there is one reality where we lived, or maybe a couple versions of the both of those realities. They existed, and we diverged timelines. It was a culmination of all the work that you and I have put in, you know, into ourselves, and all of the efforts that we've put in, not just the past few years, but this year in particular,
This year in particular.
and getting to that point where you were okay staying, and you were okay just being here for a little bit longer. And same with me, and getting to that point of you finding your inner peace and me finally being on the track to attaining that for myself, you know, and finally seeing the steps for it. It's a testament to us as well. It's a testament to how much we've put into ourselves, how much we've put into our souls and our spirits. And that is what harvest is all about, where you just look at all this work that you've done and all this work that your spirits have done, and you just breathe and you just say, thank you. Oh my gosh, thank you. And you accept and you receive, you know, and you give to your spirits and you give to the community around you, and you don't stop giving. The giving's always going to happen, but also giving to yourself and allowing that to be received.
Oh,
And I
that's
think it's
lovely.
really beautiful. And
Was listening to a, oh, sorry, go ahead.
no, go ahead.
Just because I was listening to an Irish storyteller. Y'all, my interests have always been very, very, very far flung, broad and diverse. And she was talking about how in Ireland, it is very, her word wasn't suspect, but it's the word that's coming for me now, that isolation is something that they really work hard against in their culture, because they know how quickly, you know, down a dark path you can go. And her phrase was, she gave the Gaelic phrase for it, and then she translated it that we live in each other's shadows. And I just thought, oh, now that is something. Because it's not just the community shadows or the family shadows. It's also when you can expand it out into all of the, you know, the energetic folks that are trying to help you out, ancestors and spirit guides and archangels, you know, ascended masters, gods and goddesses, that the shadow that you're in is deeply impressive, but also you are casting a shadow for other people that they can be supportive of you and to learn from you and to get things from you. So maybe the next phase of all of this is to figure out like, okay, this is how far I got. Like, what am I going to do with it next?
Yeah. Well, kind of what you're talking about. I think that phrase is really beautiful because casting a shadow is usually such a negative connotation, especially in our culture, and just like, you know, cast a shadow over this or that. But like, I think shade is really beautiful, and I think darkness is really beautiful, and allowing yourself to exist in that shadow and exist in other people's shadow and understand the benefit to your darkness and understanding why it's there is really what Samhain is all about, you know, and that's why it's considered the witchiest holidays, because it's the darkest. And it's the one where we are living in each other's shadows and also the ancestral shadows. Ugh, that's so beautiful. I really love that. Lovely. Yeah. I really
so like even in times of big turmoil, the hope is it won't last for long. Yeah. That we can get our way through it as quickly as possible. And I do think that these have been the tools that have, you know, if darkness still comes in, I can dispatch it quick. I don't have to sit in it the way I did previous to all of this stuff around 2020, when all the spiritual stuff really, really started crashing in a mm-hmm. meaningful way, not just a random chaotic, oh, this again, look, another ghost, yeehaw. But actually being able to, I had always lived my values in this world, but now I can live my values on a spiritual level, and the fusion of the two are pretty, pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I know we've kind of been doing our wrap up a little bit, but like, I also want to note that after this shift happened for me was the first time I was able to recognize that I was being spiritually attacked. And I don't think that like it's the first time it's happened to me before, but I've always just put the onus on me of, oh, I'm just having a bad time. Oh, I'm just doing this thing. And then, you know, my oracle cards were like, freaking no, this is something doing this to you. Like, snap out of it, do some protections, do your stuff, you wow. know, like ask for help. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. And it was a very hard, direct message. So yeah. Such great areas.
Let's go into that for just a
yeah, little let's bit. Do it.
So when you have trauma, how do I put it? This sounds so terrible, but it's the truth. You know, when you're triggered, a lot of people use the phrase vibration, you know, is low. And so you're existing in that really, really dense, murky space of, you know, of misery and despondency and anxiety. And that's the easiest place for these dark energetic things to come at ya. And once it happens once, like it's, you know, there's like portals now, there's little doorways and there's little like cords and they can come back in and stuff. So for some of us, certainly 100% me, I've had to learn all of the different steps going into, first off, recognizing like, yes, this is a thing. And then figuring out how to start doing protections, like the very, very basic level protections. And then now I don't have to worry about it so much because I have mostly good spiritual hygiene, but also my vibration is just way freaking higher than it was when I'm triggered. It's so easy to, you know, push this stuff off when I'm not in that despondency. So what I'm hoping for you is now that you're up here a little bit, thank goodness, that you have made all of these different connections to improve your mental space and your spiritual space, that you'll be able to like cast it out and shut down the door behind it so it doesn't come back in. Or have you done work on it already?
No. So that is very much what I'm being called into next. And there has actually been, so I've always understood that I was going to be connected with three deities mainly in this lifetime and a few others like casually or a few others that are just going to be with me
at happy hour.
Yeah. But that there's three deities in particular that I have been called to, and I have been called lately to the third one, to looking into the third one more. And I think she is all about closing those doorways and making those protections happen, and rebirth, you know. And so I haven't started doing that yet, but I want to, and I want to get into it more. And I think it's good that I have you, because it's good to see how you do it. But I also think that everything inside of me is saying that our methods are going to be very different.
Yes.
You know, and that I have to kind of forge my own way with it. Yeah. And that my version of clearing karma is going to be very different and is very much tied into my healing need and my healing abilities and my healing energy. Especially because I have just so much more tolerance for other people's energy than everybody else in my life does, that I can just take on energy and then discard it. But I haven't been doing that with my own energy very effectively. And like, how can I possibly heal other people without knowing how to heal myself? And so I'm very much being called.
But lots healers work with other healers.
You're right.
You don't have to be, you know, impeccable in order to be beneficial for other people. I want to check that. So when I was having lots of these dark attacks, I can't begin to tell you how much I lost, because I couldn't figure out, if it was just, I couldn't figure it out. And even now, like, I suppose I could go back and spend more time thinking about, wow, like, when I look at all the things that I lost during those 3 years, was that a psychic attack? Was it just a phase? Was it a shift? Was it, you know, was I transitioning? Blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. And frankly, it doesn't really matter. But what I do remember is being upset that, you know, because I had some more practiced friends. I'm not going to say more powerful, because we're all equally as powerful, but they were more practiced than I was. And I was like, why aren't you helping me? Like, why aren't you coming in and cleaning up my mess? And, you know, and when you work with a therapist, like, kind of the same thing happens, right? You're like, well, you know, like, you fix this, you know, I'm bringing it to you and you have to sort it out for me. And it's the same thing with energy work. And at some point I just had to get it through my thick skull. It's like, I have to learn how to do this. Is part of the trip here is I have to learn how to do this for myself. Now that doesn't mean if I can see it, I can heal it. That's my thing. Sometimes I know something's going on and I cannot get a bead on it. So I will go to another friend and I will ask for the assist, but it's no longer from a place of like desperation or victimhood. You know, it's just like, oh, you know what? I meant to pick this up at the store and I forgot it when I was there. Are you going later? Yeah, I'm going. I'll get that for you. So it's much more of it's just the charge has been taken out of it. It's not so, woe is me and, you know, where is my help and blah, blah, blah. So this is my hope for you. This is that you will have this. And if anything gets really super dire, you know, you can call me.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, like I think that is where I'm moving into. And 'cause like, the times in the past where I have asked you for an assist and it was out of desperation, I quickly learned why that wasn't what I needed, you know, and that why that wasn't the way I should be going into it. And I hope to get a better understanding of what healing and clearing karma looks like for me and understanding that process a little bit more. 'Cause I also have found marginal effectiveness with some of your methods as well, where it's like, I will do the things that you do, and sometimes it'll work and sometimes it won't. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because the belief isn't behind it. I don't know if it's because I haven't worked with Archangel Michael enough. It's Michael, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm not working with him effectively enough, or my gut is telling me it's because there's a different Archangel that I still haven't uncovered yet that I'm supposed to be working with. And so, you know, at the beginning of this year, I called in a year of discipline and learning to work on my discipline for myself. And I thought that meant one thing and ended up meaning something completely different.
Boy howdy.
But I think I can effectively say that I have done that and that I am nearing the end of that journey. And now I would like to be calling in working on healing a lot more and rebirth and working on reviving things for myself a little bit more and understanding how to shift and understanding how to clear that karma. So I think it is. I think I need to go to the books and go back into the books and see what I can find and see what works for me. Because I want to find quick fixes and I also want to find non-quick fixes. Yeah, of course.
Oh, please. Well, when an energy healer comes in and just like snaps their fingers and I'm better, I'm just like, oh, I want to learn to do that.
Right. That's exactly how I feel about your dowsing method, where it's like, oh, it's so much faster and it's so effective and I can't do that for myself. Right. It doesn't work for me.
Well, I will say this. I didn't come to dowsing overnight. Like, I had to practice at it. And I found my ways to make it work for me. So, you know, folks who are working this stuff at home, just know that there's going to be many, many more harvests before you. So maybe the things that you connect with during this year, this year's witch's wheel, are things that will get expanded on for next year, that you don't have to have a cure-all at all. Just having maybe a little bit of grace for yourself for what you have been through this year. And then having the intention, like knowing the kinds of things that you, as you put it, like want to bring in moving forward. But above all, some rest, you guys. We have been through it these last 4 years. We have been through it.
Yeah, we have. Oh my gosh. And more is to come, and also change has happened, you know, and living in the space of both is such a beautiful space to live in this harvest. And I'm so grateful, and so grateful for this podcast. What a wonderful thing to have come into my life this year. And I'm so grateful that we're still here.
Talk about magic. This podcast was magic for us.
Magic for us. And truly, what a gift it has been. So,
and really all it is, it's just two friends dedicated to getting on Zoom every couple of weeks.
It's so much more than that though, because we're both very powerful witches, you know? And so it's a combination of energies coming together and our spirits coming together. And I like to think that when you and I do podcast, our spirits just sit down with each other and have tea for a little bit.
Yeah. You know? There's some peace here. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you shared today. That was a lot. And I don't know. I'm just really grateful to know you and grateful that you're willing to come in and do this crazy thing with me. Yay.
Likewise. And thank you for holding this wonderful space and doing this podcast and staying true despite all the ups and downs that we've had, which haven't been that drastic. But yeah, meow, meow. And as always, cheers.
Cheers, meow, meow. Meow, meow.